On today's episode, we pay tribute to the 1990 Paul Verhoeven masterpiece, Total Recall, starring former Mr. Universe and future Mr. Governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Later, Craig makes a confession that's somehow even more shocking than the one about not having seen Star Trek Voyager. I'm telling you, this one's a real doozy. It's Uncharted Space. Hello and welcome to Uncharted Space. I'm Josh.
I'm Craig.
And on this show, we talk about a sci-fi franchise, a TV show or a movie that one of us knows and loves and the other one has not experienced.
And what are we talking about today, Josh?
Well, today we are talking about the classic 1990 Paul Verhoeven film, Total Recall.
Yes.
Tell me what the deal is with you and seeing Total Recall.
For those who have listened to the pod before, you know that we generally don't do something that one of us has seen. And in this case, we're bending the rules slightly. For our younger listeners, once upon a time, there was a thing called network television. And on network television, they would play movies cut up by commercials with all the swears taken out.
I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
And I believe it is the case that I have seen probably what amounts to most of Total Recall in 5 or 10 minute segments, but I've never seen the whole film from start to finish.
That sounds a lot like my experience with the film Highlander.
In the end, there can be only one.
Oh, really?
Which I have probably seen in 25 minute segments on TNT late at night over the last 15 years, but I do not believe I've ever seen that film all the way through.
Well, then by what I believe we shall now call the Total Recall rules, we must speak about Highlander next.
I'm all for it.
Excellent.
So let me ask you this about Total Recall.
Oh boy.
Because as you mentioned on cable television, they show a sanitized version of the film.
They don't show any boobs, let alone three.
You predicted my question exactly. You only know of the three boob lady via the broader mythology of the film.
Via the, I think it's been like done in The Simpsons and Rick and Morty in Family Guy. There's so many references to the three boobed lady in Total Recall.
It's a cultural phenomenon that's taken on a life of its own.
It's like how one knows the word muggle without having seen a Harry Potter.
So this film was set in the near future, as envisioned in 1990. And then in this future, Mars has basically been turned into like a mining colony. And so we have Arnold Schwarzenegger as a construction worker named Douglas Quaid, who is married to his lovely wife, Lori. And she is played by Sharon Stone. And I think this movie was basically Sharon Stone's breakout role.
I was going to ask you, is this before Basic Instinct?
It is. I think Basic Instinct was a couple of years after this. I think she'd been in a couple of things, but I think this is really what put her on the map.
And that is also Paul Verhoeven.
Yeah. Anyway, this guy Quaid, the construction worker, played by Schwarzenegger, keeps having these weird dreams about Mars. And so he goes to this place called Recall, which is like a travel agency, but instead of actually going somewhere, it just implant like a fake memory into your head.
Come to Recall Incorporated, where you can buy the memory of your ideal vacation cheaper, safer, and better than the real thing. So don't let life pass you by. Call Recall for the memory of a lifetime.
The memory of a lifetime. Recall.
Yeah.
And so when he's at Recall, he asks them to implant the memory of a trip to Mars in his head. And he can pick like his whole storyline and scenario. So he picks this like secret agent storyline. But then when they go to implant the memory, they discover that he's actually already had fake memories implanted into him. And it turns out that he's actually a secret agent in real life named Hauser, who's had his memory erased to conceal some big secret, which we find out later.
And this is all in the first act of the film, all of these twists and back and forth.
This is all in the first act of the film.
Wow.
And it turns out that his wife, Sharon Stone, is actually his handler.
Oh, dear.
And not his wife at all and works for the bad guys. So she tries to kill him.
Oh, no.
And some other people try to kill him.
Oh, no.
And then at the end of the first act, he flees to Mars, where he hopes to figure out what the deal is. That's the setup. I'm not going to go into what happens in the subsequent acts, lest I spoil the film.
Yeah.
Although maybe you kind of already know.
I mean, again, like here's where I think that let me tell you the images that I have in my mind. I've got like some image of him in the machine where they're doing the memories and there's like some action sequence around that, but I have no context for it. And then, like, the very end of the movie, I hope this won't be a spoiler, but there's a sequence where, like, he is depressurizing and, like, his face is getting all weird.
Yeah, the going outside the dome and having the face swell up and all of that is my earliest memory of this film as well.
Okay.
So I must have seen at least that part, like, pretty early on.
So how old were you when you watched this film the first time?
I don't remember. I think that until probably a few years ago, I had only seen it in fragments as well. I watched it again fairly recently, not sure if it was going to hold up in the way that a lot of that kind of action movie doesn't hold up.
Yes.
But in fact, it did. I think that the cast is really good. The directing is really good. They relied really heavily on practical effects. And so it doesn't look like bad CGI in the way that a lot of sci-fi movies of the era do. And yeah, I mean, you know, it felt dated at points, but I think that you could make a movie very similar to this now.
I think they did. Didn't they do a remake of Total Recall with Bryan Cranston?
I'm not here to talk about that. You know, I was going to say that I don't think that that kind of remake is ever any good, but actually, we were talking fairly recently about
RoboCop.
Dredd.
Oh, Dredd.
You know, I didn't like the remake of RoboCop as much as the original, but I...
Of course.
I did like Dredd more than I liked Judge Dredd. So, despite this movie being one that I believe holds up, it's still, I mean, it was made in 1990, but it still has a very sort of 80s action movie feel to it. You know, it's full of like really arch bad guys and their goons and henchmen and like really cartoonish 80s action violence with ketchup blood.
Is, what's his name? Michael Ironside in this film? He's kind of a Paul Verhoeven standard.
Yeah. Michael Ironside plays like the main enforcement agent who works for the bad guy, who's played by Ronnie Cox, who we'll talk about in a minute.
Well, before we do, I'm just curious because we talked about that like ending image, which is visceral to an adult or a child, because it's a pretty adult movie and it sounds like you watched it as a kid. Like what sticks out with you from like being a kid watching it?
I don't think that I watched the movie as a child. I think that I watched it as a young adult, but maybe I caught a glimpse of it on TV or something at one point because I have a very clear memory of the going outside the dome and face swelling thing, but not much else.
This is a Philip K. Dick story that it's based on, correct?
Yeah, Philip K. Dick short story, which I haven't read.
So are there similar elements of like identity and not knowing what's what?
It's there. It's very much sort of couched in action thriller theatrics. But I think that beneath all of that, there's a really interesting story about identity that's being told. I think a lot of the movie's success in my mind comes down to the cast. Not only is Schwarzenegger kind of like at his best, but Sharon Stone is fantastic in the movie as well as this really like horrible and manipulative person. You know, she goes back and forth between this like cold killer personality and faking genuine warmth and concern for her fake husband.
I love you.
Right. That's why he tried to kill me.
No, I'd never do anything to hurt you. I want you to come back to me.
Bullshit.
Interesting.
Yeah, she's really great. Everybody's really great in this movie. One thing that I noted when I was rewatching this movie is that it's basically the Bourne Identity, but on Mars.
Oh.
And I don't know how deliberately the Bourne Identity essentially lifted the plot of Total Recall.
And the novel of the Bourne Identity would have probably been written before this. Obviously, the film came after, but...
Oh, that's a good point. But there's a lot of striking similarities. It even down to that exact, do you remember the bank vault scene where Bourne goes in and discovers all his passports and his gun and stuff?
Yes, I'm here about a numbered account.
If you just enter your account number here, I'll direct you to appropriate officer.
Sure. Yeah.
They have a nearly identical scene where Quaid discovers that he's actually Hauser by going to the bank on Mars and opening his deposit box and finding his stuff.
Seems you've left something in our safe.
Could you get it, please?
He's got the receipts, as it were.
Exactly.
I recently watched, I caught up on Rick and Morty, which I don't think you watched that show.
I've seen a number of episodes of it.
Okay.
Sort of not sequentially, and I don't think I've seen much past the first couple seasons.
I don't remember if it was the last season or the season before, but there was a whole episode about Quatos, which is the guy inside the belly coming out. And like the whole episode is just people who have Quatos on them.
Nice Quato.
Open your mind!
Preaching to the choir.
I don't have a question or comment about this, but Quatos.
That's great. I mean, yeah, the fact that many of the residents of Mars are mutants is a plot point.
Uh-huh.
And they know things. And some of them are actually psychic. And so they're persecuted. But the main guy of the mutant underground is exactly as you described, you know, a big guy with a little guy growing out of his belly.
Now, Josh, a few weeks ago when we were talking about the film Reign of Fire, you mentioned that your very favorite genre is space opera, followed shortly thereafter by dystopia. And it seems that this film has elements of both of those things.
It's definitely dystopian in, you know, the way that lots of near future action movies are. I don't know that I would call this space opera so much, if for no other reason that it doesn't really take place in space. There's a love story. There's a woman on Mars that Quaid was seeing in these visions that he was having, and then he seeks her out on Mars. And it turns out that Hauser and she had some sort of a relationship previously, and that turns into a little bit of a love story, but I don't think that I would call it space opera necessarily.
What is interesting to me about your answer is it reveals to me that for you, the term space opera is not just in space, but having that episodic soap operatic quality to it, which I had never associated with the term. And I guess that's probably correct.
I think in my mind, space opera just means a story about people that happens to be set in space.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I would say.
Where the things that happen in those people's interpersonal relationships are as important as the space part.
So from what we see of Earth before they go to Mars, which sounds like it's an entirely different aesthetic, what elements are similar or different in terms of other near future, the 80s vision of today and beyond? Like, do we have FaceTime? Do we have self-driving cars?
There's a lot of those little things. We don't see a whole ton of Earth before they end up on Mars. There's taxis driven by a robot mannequin guy, voiced by Robert Picardo.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cat. Where can I take you tonight?
Drive! Drive!
Would you please repeat the destination?
Oh, anywhere, just go! Go!
Please state a street and number.
Shit!
I'm not familiar with that address. Would you please repeat the destination?
Are you kidding me? Did I accidentally stumble onto a Robert Picardo clip? Oh my god, I'm so happy right now.
I mean, this might... I know I had a question to answer there, but this could be an opportunity to segue into the thing that I wanted to talk about, which is how many Star Trek actors appear in the film Total Recall.
Let's segue away.
Yeah, we can come back to what we were talking about, but I've already forgotten because this is way more important.
Of course.
I think I said this earlier. The main villain is played by Ronnie Cox, who also played the villain in RoboCop.
Wait, is that the dad from That 70s Show?
Son, you don't have bad luck. The reason that bad things happen to you is because you're a dumbass.
No. Red Foreman?
Yeah, that's the main villain in RoboCop.
Ronnie Cox played Dick Jones in RoboCop, who's like the guy in the suit that like presents the sentry robot thing that shoots everybody in the conference room.
Oh.
I had forgotten that Red Foreman was one of the main guys in that movie.
And Red Foreman, just to be clear, that's the character's name on That 70s Show, right? That's not the actor's name?
Yeah, I just can't remember the actor's name. That guy was on an episode of Star Trek too. But anyway, Ronnie Cox in Star Trek famously played Captain Jellicoe in the TNG episode Chain of Command.
There are four knights!
Where Picard is relieved of duty of the Enterprise to go off on a secret mission to do something with the Cardassians. And he's replaced by Captain Jellicoe, who butts heads with Commander Riker and wants to have four shifts instead of three. And seems like a real asshole, but I think is actually a pretty good captain.
Let's drop the ranks for a moment. I don't like you. I think you're insubordinate, arrogant, willful, and I don't think you're a particularly good first officer.
I'm just trying not to say Jellicoe Cats in response to Jellicoe Captain.
Like from Cats?
Yeah.
You can say it. It's all right.
It's already been said.
All right. So we've got Ronnie Cox, a.k.a. Captain Jellicoe, is the main bad guy in this movie. As I already mentioned, the robot cab driver named Johnny Cab is voiced by Robert Picardo.
You're in a Johnny Cab.
I mean, what am I doing here?
I'm sorry. Would you please rephrase the question?
Huh? How did I get in this taxi?
The door opened. You got in. Hell of a day, isn't it?
At the top of the show, we mentioned the three boob lady, maybe the most famous thing about this film. And she was played by Licia Naff, who played Ensign Sonia Gomez, a briefly recurring character in one of the early seasons of TNG. She was like this cute but awkward engineer that I think was supposed to become more of a regular character, and then they just never brought her back.
Oh, yeah.
She, like, spilled her coffee on Captain Picard by accident.
Oh, I wasn't looking. It's all over you.
Yes, Ensign, it's all over me.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, she had three boobs in Total Recall.
Well, how about that?
And then there's more.
Okay.
The, like, lab tech at the recall office where they implant the memories is played by Elizabeth Dennehy, who played Commander Shelby in Best of Both Worlds.
There's no reason for me to expect to become your first officer, except that you need me. I know how to get things done, and I have the expertise in the Borg.
And you have a lot to learn, Commander.
Okay.
Who becomes the first officer when Riker becomes the captain when Picard is Borgified.
Yes.
And then finally, we have the great Mark Alamo, playing one of Ronnie Cox's henchmen.
Mark Alamo. Who's he in Star Trek?
He played Gul Dukat on Deep Space Nine.
Attention, Bajoran workers. I will not allow this rebellion to succeed.
Oh?
You look a little puzzled.
Well, it may be the case that I have never seen Deep Space Nine.
I beg your pardon.
It may be the case that I've never seen Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Wow. I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. You and I have always bonded over The Next Generation.
It's true.
And the original cast movies. I'm just shocked to learn that you've never seen Deep Space Nine. And I think that that's something that we'll probably need to address on the show.
I think we'll have to, Josh. I think we'll have to.
But right now, we're not here to talk about Deep Space Nine. We are talking about Total Recall. So I will not let this shocking revelation derail this episode.
Thank you. Thank you. So when you watched Total Recall, you were old enough that it wasn't traumatizing, young enough that it was badass and cool. What else made an impact on you?
I mean, I've always had such an affection for Schwarzenegger, and I think that this movie has some of the best classic one-liners. You have a scene where he kills somebody with a drill, like a giant drill, and he goes, "Screw you!"
Oh, that's, they stole that in Lethal Weapon 1 or 2. Danny Glover uses the nail gun. He goes, "Nailed them both."
Oh, that's right. What year did the first Lethal Weapon movie come out?
80-something.
Okay, so maybe they stole it from that and not...
I hope that this was original native advertising in films, and they both got some money from Black & Decker.
It was more of an industrial drill in Total Recall. Like a mining tool. And then there's another... The best one-liner, I feel like I can't really say because it's a major plot spoiler.
Okay.
Nah, we got to put it in here.
Excellent.
Okay, spoiler alert in 3, 2, 1.
Sweetheart, be reasonable. After all, we're married.
Consider that a divorce.
This seems like a difficult film to talk about because there's so much delight in the twists and turns of the plot that you don't want to give away too much, but is there more about the performances or the aesthetic or...
You know, something I was just thinking about this morning when I was getting ready to record the podcast was when we were talking about the fan theory that For All Mankind...
And The Expanse are connected?
I was actually thinking that Total Recall could also be a secret prequel to The Expanse.
As you were talking about it, I was certainly hearing some of that. And you could even say that the mutants fit in with the how the Belters get kind of tall and skinny.
Where that comparison dies is that the Belters are like a third element in The Expanse.
Yeah.
Where you have the Earth people and the Martians and the Belters. The Mars people... don't have any like physiological things that happen. Well, that's not true.
Quados.
Oh, I was talking about The Expanse, but yeah, no, they definitely have people growing out of their bellies. I think in The Expanse, the Mars people also can't go to Earth because the gravity is too high. That's another thing. I feel like most shows and movies about Mars totally ignore the fact that the gravity is like one third of what it is on Earth, and everybody just kind of walks around normally.
Does that allow Schwarzenegger to be more of a superhero when he goes to Mars in the film?
I don't think it does, because I think that they just pretend that the gravity is normal.
So in theory, you would be able to jump higher, but when you're jumping higher, would you land softer or harder?
Oh, you're asking me to know about physics.
I'm asking you to know about the science element of the science fiction. That's right. I certainly don't.
Who do you think I am, man?
I took conceptual physics. It was, you know, physics with comic books instead of equations. It was nice. It was nice.
When did you become an expert in thermonuclear astrophysics?
Last night.
I think one of the things that I love about this movie, and I mean, it's not the only movie that this applies to, because of course you have the Terminator franchise, but I feel like this is a sci-fi movie first and a Schwarzenegger movie second, which allows him to sort of actually act and not feel like totally tied to being Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, that is cool.
Which isn't to say that he isn't totally Arnold Schwarzenegger the entire time, but I think that he's a slightly toned down version of like the most extreme versions of Arnold that we get in, you know, some of his 80s output. And then
does he get roughed up more in this film than he does normally?
Oh, yeah. He gets the shit beat out of him a lot.
Yeah. That, I mean, that seems like right there, kind of like the Schwarzenegger thing is that he's, you know, just always the overdog.
I mean, there are definitely scenes in this movie where he takes out 10 guys.
Well, yeah. You got to.
Well, this has been another episode of Uncharted Space. As always, it's been a pleasure, Craig.
Thanks, Josh.
We were talking about Star Trek characters that appeared in Total Recall.
Sure.
And I just realized that not one, but two of those characters have reappeared in like new Trek.
Really?
Lower Decks brought back Sonia Gomez as like a guest star for an episode.
Really?
And also voiced by Alicia Knapp.
Oh, excellent.
And then as you probably recall from season 3 of Picard, we got a cameo from now Admiral Shelby, also portrayed by Elizabeth Dennehy. We won't talk about what happened to her, but